Mazzara and Parra project to Alimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lips scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alonzarek Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Fantasy baseball today. Let's get going here on Tuesday, September 20th. Adam Azer and Scott White. I want to thank everybody for hanging around with us till the end of the season. Really appreciate it. We've been getting a lot of thank you emails. And no, Scott, we thank them. They don't thank us. We thank them. Everybody, the listeners are the stars of the show.
When does the season end? I feel like there is no end to fantasy baseball season, Adam. Baseball season ends.
Not for us. Fantasy baseball will continue. We'll be on once a week for the entire offseason until obviously we get closer to the start of 2017 season. Then we'll ramp it up. But actually, this is our last full week of shows. We'll do shows every day this week, and then on Monday, we'll do one show to help you set your lineup for Fantasy Week 26, and then we'll talk to you again the next week. So, Scott, today, got some fun emails to read at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com.
Okay.
Talk about Syndergaard. I want to talk about Evan Gattis. I think he's pretty interesting. He's got 28 home runs, which eclipses what he did last year. But first, email of the day number one. I know you're going to like this one.
Okay.
This is from Robert Galvin from Fullerton, California. I think I made the turn. I think I like fantasy baseball more than fantasy football. I don't even really care about my football teams. I won't tell my buddy who I'm co-managing a team with, but I can't stop thinking about fantasy baseball. Next year, sleepers, OPS, FIP, XFIP. Guys, I think I found the one. So my questions are, one, am I crazy? Two, do either of you guys prefer baseball over football? And three, what are your opinions on sim leagues? I've only recently heard about them. Are they just a fun way to pass the time until the real season starts, or would they actually help sharpen my fantasy skills? Any recommendations on sim leagues you guys like? Let's address that one last, Scott. Number one is Robert crazy for liking baseball, fantasy baseball more than fantasy football?
Well, no, I don't think he's crazy. I feel like this is something we've talked about several times over the years. I'm definitely of the mindset that baseball's better as well, because I don't feel like it's as random. I feel like your decisions are rewarded. Both your long-term and short-term decisions are awarded a little more fairly. There's not as much inherent injury risk, so you're not just, you know, your second round pick isn't as often lost in like week two or whatever. And you feel like you had a greater hand in your success or failure, if that's what it ends up being, instead of just, you know, lady luck determining it.
Like my Keenan Allen, Amir Abdullah team that's just doomed right now. I don't think you're crazy, Robert. Well, here's question number two. Do you prefer baseball over football as well? Scott has made it clear he prefers fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
I think I prefer fantasy baseball, but there is an element to fantasy football that I like better, and it's just that it's more social. It's one day of excitement for the most part, and then you got the Monday night game. Fantasy baseball, it doesn't often come down to Sunday night baseball. You're not talking trash with your opponent. There is a more social element, and there's more excitement in fantasy football because most of it happens on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not a slog the way fantasy baseball can be, and it is kind of nice that it's all contained to the weekend for the most part, and everybody's watching it at the same time. And yeah, I totally get that aspect of it, but if you find the right group for fantasy baseball where everybody's going to be just as interested in it, I think it's ultimately more rewarding. And, you know, kind of what I mentioned, the injury aspect, but with fantasy football, when talking about the randomness, I mean, I feel like we're seeing that especially at wide receiver this year. I mean, because so many people were drafting wide receivers earlier, you know, the Larry Fitzgeralds of the world, the Kelvin Benjamins of the world, Jordan Matthews. I mean, you may not have necessarily drafted those guys to either to start them or maybe not drafted them at all because you spent a lot at wide receiver getting the higher end types. Well, suddenly, is it so clear that those higher end types are better than those now? I mean, it's only week two, and already
really,
it's not.
I don't really agree with you so much. I mean, Fitzgerald's having a better year than I thought so far, but Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, like, it's not really a huge surprise that he's doing this. He was part of a group of, you know, the last potential really good wide receivers. He fell out of it because we were worried about his
conditioning.
Right,
he fell
out
of it. He fell out of it during the time when most people were drafting. So
he did.
And then you end up in these positions where, okay, now I have Ryan Matthews as a bench player. Do I start him? Todd Gurley? I mean, no, you don't feel like you can do that, but. I feel like, yeah, but the repercussions of guessing wrong, because you're basically just guessing, and the repercussions of guessing wrong are much greater in football because it is all confined to that one day, and because the season is so short. A loss in fantasy football hurts a lot more than it does in baseball. Baseball, yeah. You kind of have a little time to find your footing, you know?
Yes, I agree, and I do like that. And I would like, so fantasy football typically has 13 regular season weeks. I really would like fantasy baseball. I probably would say I like fantasy baseball more than fantasy football if we just ended the season. I would say a month early. You know, like week 18-ish for a regular season.
Well, see, you're turning one of its strengths over football into a weakness.
I'm still
by
giving
doing
it five
that.
More regular season weeks, though.
I don't know.
I can't deal. Like, I am not enjoying. Well, first of all, I'm only playing really in one league. I have two Roto leagues, only one that I care about right now. But I don't enjoy what's going on. Like, streaming Robert Gazelman, Seth Lugo doesn't really do it for me. Baseball becomes a different sport in September. So I don't really want to do fantasy baseball in September. And I would enjoy it more. And I think more people would get into it if the season ended earlier. And also, if you end the season at the end of August, then you don't have to worry about your fantasy football team and your fantasy baseball team at the same time. It's most people at this point are going to prioritize their fantasy football team.
Yeah, but how different is the memory of Hanley Ramirez's season going to be if his September isn't rewarded?
I mean, look, you could always say that. I just feel like...
Just play out the whole season, and then the full scope of every player's season is rewarded fairly. I mean, it's a fault of Jacob deGrom's that he hasn't finished out the season. That is a flaw in him as a pitcher. His owners deserve to suffer for it, just like the Mets are.
I think.
Because the season counts.
Counts. When you look at my team that I said that has Garrett Cole, Danny Salazar, and Jacob deGrom, it's like, it's ridiculous. And it just gets to a point, no sport can play this many games and not have a bunch of injuries. It's just, you know, it's too demanding. And I also think what I said about, you know, the one thing I like more about football than baseball, the excitement, the fact that more people are into it, I think you would get that if baseball weren't such a slog, as you said, if it didn't feel so long, if you shortened it and you made it a little bit more accessible to people who would get more into it. I think, you know, one of the things I like about covering fantasy football compared to fantasy baseball, and that I hope this isn't an insult to the people listening to this, but, I need time to explain this. There's more interest in fantasy football, right?
Okay.
I love the fantasy baseball listeners, and we do have a very popular podcast, and that gets me really motivated. It gets me, you know, it gets me motivated to work hard and to put together a really good show so we can help people. Fantasy football is like that, but times like seven. I would like fantasy baseball to take the next step and become more mainstream and become more popular. And I think if we shorten the season, you know, which is easy to do.
I think that's just a reflection of the relative popularity of the two sports.
It will never catch up to football. It will never catch up to football. But I think we could help by, you know, hey, let's do fantasy baseball. Don't worry. The season ends before your fantasy football season starts. The season ends at the end of September.
I think you're sacrificing too much in terms of gameplay by doing that.
Maybe in a Roto league, but in like a head-to-head league, categories or points.
No, I mean, you want, like, how much has Hanley Ramirez raised his stock?
Well, that's
for
one
next
guy.
Year?
Like, who cares?
Well, how much has Salazar lowered his stock for next year?
I don't.
It's not just one guy.
Well, it's this ending a fantasy baseball season early doesn't change your evaluation for next year. You still pay attention to what happens at the end. It's just
right, but you. you didn't get credit for the, you bought a guy expecting a full season's numbers and you didn't get credit for the best part of the season. Because how often do we talk about this? Like, baseball players all put up the numbers they put up, but it's not like an even distribution over the course of the season. It's hard to predict exactly when you're going to get.
But what does it matter what does it matter if that big month is in August or September? I mean,
it matters if the season ends before September.
I know,
it matters a lot.
If you're the Hanley Ramirez owner and he had a brutal September, you'd be happy that the season ended.
Right, but if you're the guy playing Hanley Ramirez, you wouldn't be.
I mean, but just practically, just as a fan, like, forget that. As a fantasy owner, I'm sure you have some leagues that have concluded by now. It's not kind of a relief to you?
No, I don't have a league that's concluded.
All right,
I have had at least some leagues where I'm eliminated, but I have every league still going on.
I guess I only have one league that's concluded right now, but I everybody sort of enjoys that in that league, honestly. Everybody's kind of like, okay, we had a long run. We had 20, 22 weeks, whatever it was. We're cool now. We're ready to move on.
Well, they right. must like football more. I don't know.
I wouldn't want it. By week 16 of fantasy football, I'm ready for that to be over too. I'm serious. It's just, you know, maybe it's just me, but I have a limited time of, the week 17 fantasy football coverage. That doesn't it feel like what we're doing right now is like, ugh. That's the best adjective I could come up with, by the way.
Well, if we're focusing on the micro, but I always feel like baseball's better consumed as a macro sport anyway. Like, who honestly sits down and watches all 162 games for any one team? Very small percentage of fans, but you still want those 162 games to happen. It's still, you're still consuming it on sort of macro level, you know?
Yeah, like, I want it to happen, but most people have no problem ending the fantasy football season in week 16.
I'm an exception to that.
You are an exception.
I am an exception.
All right, well, you know, so what? Maybe. Then good. I'm glad that is a consistent approach. Yeah. I think that September baseball is the week 17 equivalent. You know, it's unpredictable.
Not quite the same, but there are parallels, sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, if the Brewers shut down Ryan Braun next week and you don't have him for your fantasy championship, you're going to be so mad. Paul Goldschmidt sat yesterday. If they just continue to sit him, you know, even if it's just once a week, you're going to be really annoyed. But they're going to do that because they have nothing to play for. They might. I'm not saying they will.
They might.
They could.
But that could happen in August also. And it could happen less, like, at least September. There's a little more warning for these things, I feel like.
I hope we can
start
conclude.
Braun and he want to play. And you're like, man, I wish I had known.
We can conclude on that, but I hope I didn't make it sound like we don't want to be doing this podcast right now. I do. I mean, I'm getting a lot of feedback, you know, a lot of questions, a lot of emails, more so than I anticipated. So I'm glad we're still able to help. I know that right now, we can't be as helpful as we were in like week 4 because we can't talk about trades. We can't talk about rest of season. It's just simply, who do I start? Who do I pick up for next week? Which is fine. Let's talk about
next season some too. I mean, you're kind of, again, you're not focused more on the macro.
And we will.
Not just the micro.
And we will do that. We will do that.
Right.
Email of the day number 2 is from Lucas in a town in Michigan. Do you have a preference for a town in Michigan, Scott?
I'm not good at this. Lansing's the only one I can
Lansing,
think of.
Lansing it is. a Lansing blow. There you go. Dear Aruba and Jamaica, this was me on Saturday morning. Okay, I'm down in my semifinals game. I've got to pull out all the stops. Oh, look, the Pirates and Reds play a doubleheader. Maybe I should pick some guys up to get a 2-for-1. Josh Bell. Yeah, he's the guy that hit that one homer earlier this year in his first game. Okay, pick him up. And I got one other guy who I can drop. Let's see. Sean Rodriguez, never heard of him, but maybe he'll do something. Why not? I'll pick up Sean Rodriguez. Thank you, Sean Rodriguez, for saving my season. On to the finals. I don't remember exactly what he did, Scott, on Saturday. He had like 2 home runs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he had a big Saturday.
I think something like that. It was a big game, big day.
Question, will Sean Rodriguez be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Sorry, that's a dumb question. I mean, will Sean Rodriguez be the first player to be unanimously voted into the Hall of Fame?
Man, you gotta love when that happens.
Yeah,
I had that
happen
to me a couple years in a row in the podcast league, September baseball, Adam. See, it comes through for you sometimes.
Oh yeah.
But Sean Rodriguez, 17 home runs and 260 at-bats this year. That's pretty cool.
He's actually homered in three straight games and five of his last seven.
Right, right. If something were to happen to make him an everyday player going into next year, I think he'd be a sleeper of sorts. Sure.
I don't.
Okay.
He's 31 and he has had a dreadful career. Come on.
No, but this was long overdue. I mean, this was a guy who, back when he was in the, I think as far back as the Angels organization, we were talking about him as a preseason sleeper, and it just never worked out for him. And it's one of those where I know there was some kind of change he made that I was reading about after that doubleheader, actually, but now I can't recall.
Phooey. He's 31. Wait, who did this happen with? Oh, come on. There was an outfielder who had a huge year at like age 35 or something.
Ryul Labañez?
Yes. Was it Labañez? And then he was dreadful the next year.
Well, he was much older than Sean Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I can't. Sean Rodriguez has done.
Right, you're kind of making too much of a unlikely hypothetical. So
he's been in the league for 8 years.
Yes, he has.
This is his ninth season. He's got a career 692 OPS. Come on now. 17 home runs. That's impressive.
It has to start somewhere, Adam. He wouldn't be a sleeper if he had eight awesome years. Come on.
You can have him on your fantasy team.
I'm not going to, because he's not going to be a starter next year. I was speaking hypothetically.
Well, don't ever do that again, Scott.
Okay.
All right. Monday's standouts. Noah Syndergaard struggled. Do you care? Does it mean anything? He gave up six combined earned runs in his previous six starts and five yesterday. I don't know that we can just look at the Braves and be like, oh, great matchup. But Syndergaard has the Phillies. And I will look at the Phillies and say, oh, great matchup. I'll start him this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, he's fine. His previous five starts were awesome. So he's allowed to have a bad one.
But are you worried about Gazelman, that this Braves matchup tonight won't be as good as people might have thought?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I was worried about that even before the Syndergaard start.
Yeah.
It's kind of like with Taijuan Walker. I mean, you end up propping up a guy who maybe you wouldn't believe in as much normally, just because there's so few alternatives to star pitchers.
Scott, I want to talk about Evan Gattis, because I prefer to take a more macro approach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Macro, micro, huh? Yeah. All right, let's do that.
You know, I think people probably are frustrated with Evan Gattis, and I don't know that his owners feel like they got a lot out of him, but he's the number six catcher in fantasy and points leagues and number five in Roto, and Gattis could very well, he's very, very close to being number four behind the big three of Posey, Lucroy, Ramos. And you look at last year to this year, 246 batting average both seasons, but a 317 on base this year compared to 285. Neither are good, but 317 is better. And a 498 slugging compared to 463. He's already hit one more home run than he hit last year in 35 fewer games. He has 10 more walks in 35 fewer games. He is striking out more, though. Three fewer strikeouts and 35 fewer games for Gattis. Somehow, I mean, this is probably going to be the weirdest stat in baseball history. Evan Gattis hit 11 triples last year. And that obviously wasn't going to happen. He has 12 in his career. So anyway, I just wanted to say that Gattis, he'll be catcher eligible next year, right?
Yes.
I mean, if he's going to hit 30 home runs, he's probably going to be a top five catcher. I think he's sort of an embodiment of how different a player's season is perceived when he's consistent compared to streaky. And the streaky guys, I feel like it feels worse for your fantasy team than the consistent ones.
Yeah, he's probably also a victim of some overhype, I guess. Like you said, I mean, I don't think the end result was so far off from the hype, but you start throwing around 30 home runs, or I think going into last year, I even talked about maybe 40 home runs for Gattis as a full-time DH, and obviously he's, you know, hasn't reached those levels, but yeah, you still can't really be too disappointed by what he's giving you, especially now that he's, well, he was never really ineligible a catcher for long, right? Because he was catcher eligible all of last year, and then I guess it was maybe the first month or two this year where he wasn't. And now he's going to be next year again. So I don't even think. Yeah, I think he's just fine.
Okay. In the bullpen, Ryan Madsen was awful again. Ryan Dahl pitched the seventh inning. But
yep.
I don't know.
How much longer is that going to last?
Exactly.
I don't know. Madsen keeps. And it wasn't a blown save, but it was a loss, and it was, what, the fourth or fifth straight outing when he gave up at least a run. So he is on thin ice for sure.
Derek Law, Javier Lopez, and Hunter Strickland all struggled for San Francisco at the Dodgers. Law came in, got an out in the eighth, then gave up a hit in the ninth before being removed, and then Strickland came on with two on and nobody out after Lopez gave up a hit, and Strickland blew the save, and he gave up a single and a walk-off double. And, yeah, I mean, look, Bruce Bochy's really going mad scientist on us, but what's your read here?
I think we're finding out why it took so long to switch from Santiago Casilla. I don't really think the Giants have a closer caliber reliever. You look at the strikeout rates for both Law and Strickland. It's just not what you expect from a modern closer. So it could be a bumpy ride here. I'm not really sure there's time for anyone to emerge and help in fantasy.
They should just go back to Casilla.
Maybe.
They should. I mean, I'm not saying they will, but they should. News and notes. Steven Matz could start Friday against Philadelphia. Would you start him?
No. It's going to be a very short start.
Giancarlo Stanton started and homered against the Nationals. All right. Carlos Martinez, he left a little early. He had a high pitch count, and he was having trouble with the air at Coors Field, having a little trouble breathing, but managed to be okay. Didn't kill you at Coors Field. Homer Bailey could pitch again before the season ends, and Adam Conley could as well, but Conley will come back as a reliever. I really have a fantasy regret. I wish I had watched Giants-Dodgers instead of Bears-Eagles last night. That was a brutal Monday Night Football game, and man, I wish I had spent more time. I watched a little bit of it, but I wish I had spent more time watching Bumgarner and Kershaw. That was pretty sweet.
Okay.
I want you to talk now.
If that wasn't clear by the silence, I didn't watch either. So I you know, I heard
what
it was
did you
a bad
watch?
Monday night game.
What did you watch?
I think I caught the season premiere of Big Bang Theory, but that was it. I didn't watch much TV.
Oh, did he propose?
Did he propose? No, there were no proposals.
Okay.
Regardless of what he you're referring to.
Oh, I was talking about Sheldon. I didn't know there was another.
No.
I didn't know there was
no,
another.
No proposals. Right. Spoiler alert. No proposals.
They showed it in the trailer, you know?
Trailers.
But, yeah, I should give me a break. That away. I apologize. But you knew he wasn't going to do it. Because, like, come on, that's not going to happen in the season premiere. More notes. Yasmani Grandal returned to the lineup. Andrew Benintendi has been cleared to play in back-to-back games. And we'll get into yesterday's action and help you set your lineups. But, you know, we've been trying to help you win your fantasy league all year. We're also trying to help you save money. And if you're like me, you are fed up with purchasing shaving products. Razors, blades, shaving cream. Too expensive. And a lot of it's really low quality. It's just not worth it. And that's why I'm really happy to say that I use Harry's razors, and you should too. Guys, you need a great shave. You need a shave cream that you're going to love and that smells good and that your lady's going to love. We all need to save some money, so try Harry's Razors, HARRYS.com, Harry's.com. For $15, you get the Truman Set, which is a great way to get started. You're getting a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three amazing razor blades, all for $15. And if that's not good enough, we'll take $5 off with our offer code FBT. FBT, as in Fantasy Baseball Today. $10 for all of that. And the blades, they're terrific. Since I started using Harry's razors, I've gotten really close, really comfortable shaves, better than what I used to get before Harry's. Harry's.com, go there now. Use the offer code FBT at checkout to save $5. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try. Again, the offer code is FBT. 2017, who would you rather have, Freddie Freeman or Chris Davis with a C?
Oh, not even close. Freddie Freeman, for sure.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, I'm completely on board with what he's done this season, which, by the way, I mean, he's outscored Miguel Cabrera, who's, you know, had a pretty tremendous season of his own. So we're talking about basically elite numbers for Freddie Freeman. despite a worse strikeout rate than Chris Bryant, Will Myers. So that gives me some pause. I mean, the power increase, you know, he was 26 most of this year. That kind of comes with that age, so I'm not as skeptical of that. He's always among the top two or three hitters in line drive rate every year, so high BABIP is usual for Freddie Freeman, too. I'm just not sure quite this high. I think maybe if you anticipate more like a 280 batting average with 30 home runs from Freeman, you have an idea of what he can do for you on Chris Davis's floor. As he's shown this year, you know, barely a top 20 first baseman. It's much lower. Ceiling's a little bit higher. I'll give you that, the thing. But its floor is much lower.
I think the ceiling is a lot higher.
I mean, he didn't last year. Last year, Chris Davis, let's see, Freddie Freeman has 508 points now. Chris Davis had 528 last year. So, you know, with a week and a half left, it's not going to be that big of a difference.
Well, Chris Davis is a guy that's significantly better in roto leagues than points leagues. So,
I don't know. I mean, his batting average.
He was
only a 262 hitter last year.
But he's been playing hurt. So I hope some of these struggles lately have been related to that. He's got such a low floor, Chris Davis. That's why I didn't draft him. But he was going in the third round this year. If I can get Chris Davis in like the seventh round next year,
sure.
You know, this is a guy that could hit 50 home runs. He's done it before, and you just look at his track record. Chris Davis has got to be one of the most unpredictable players. You know, he's going to hit for power, but what else do you know? He could be so bad. Other than the home runs, or he could be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Freeman is the choice. I agree. I mean, I think you make good points, but I wouldn't be afraid for me, Scott. I wouldn't be afraid to take Chris Davis in a roto league if I can get good value from him. I'm thinking round seven.
Sure. No, if you can get him in round seven, I think I feel like I mean, even if he repeats this year's numbers, round seven isn't really bad value for Chris Davis, and obviously room to perform like more like a third rounder. I agree with that I don't know that he's going to last quite that long. I was actually putting together my first base rankings earlier today. I have Freeman 8th, I believe, and Chris Davis 11th.
Okay.
Just ahead of Hanley Ramirez. So,
okay. Well, you know, the other thing is he's outfield eligible. So my next question.
He won't be next year.
He won't be?
No, he won't. Neither him nor Hanley nor Will Myers actually will be outfield eligible next year.
Okay, well, that hurts. But who would you rather have, Chris Davis with a C or Chris Davis with a K?
Yeah, well, with coming off that 52-point week Chris Davis with a K had, actually outscored both Trey Turner and Hanley Ramirez last week. I don't see how that's possible. But he outscored them both by like 10. He's now outscored Chris Davis with a C for the season. His season numbers are better. But I can't imagine it gets any better for Chris Davis with a K. K-Riss Davis. I can't imagine it gets any better for him than what he's done this year. Stayed healthy. Was able to put together that 40-homer season. Such bad play discipline that 250, 260 range is probably the peak for his batting average. And doesn't have the greatest supporting cast either.
C-Riss over K-Riss?
C-Riss next year, yes.
All righty. Some hitters and pitchers from yesterday. I feel like we're talking about the same guys over and over, but they're keeping it up. Kendrys Morales homered again.
Yep.
Ryan Healy homered again. He's batting 312, 348, 534. That's Ryan Healy's slash line. And can't really ignore Carlos Gomez. He's got an 870 OPS with Texas. He's got 12 walks in 24 games. And he stole a base yesterday and just having a really good September. So Morales, Healy, Gomez, what do you think?
I think that's the order I'd start them, actually. Morales, Healy, and Gomez. Maybe Healy ahead of Morales. But Morales has actually it's like a 3-week hot streak now at this point. It's been enough to move him ahead of both Victor Martinez and Adrian Gonzalez in fantasy points for the season. So he's in a range of first baseman now, and he's also outfield eligible, but he's in a range of first baseman now where you know, he's not far from being must start.
And I like that Morales cooled off a little bit and then got hot again. You know,
yeah,
that was good to see. And Dansby Swanson, he's 42% owned. He really hasn't done anything in fantasy, but except for one good week. Are you seeing some good signs from Dansby Swanson? He's batting 305, 358, 421. 9 walks, 23 strikeouts in 27 games with 5 doubles. Are you seeing some encouraging things from a very young player, a very inexperienced player in terms of minor league track record? And
right.
Yeah. What do you
think? For being only 22 and you know, spending one season in the minors, I think this is as good as anyone could have hoped for. You'd like to see him cut down on the strikeouts and develop more power, but that comes with time and experience. I think next year, look, next year's not really the year to target a sleeper shortstop, because, I mean, really, at every infield position, there's just not a need to draft a sleeper, really. But Dansby Swanson will be a sleeper, you know, maybe somebody you take a late round flyer on.
All righty, some pitchers from yesterday. Oh my gosh, Scott. I tried telling you that Carlos Rodon isn't any good. I don't know why you...
Yeah, you tried that, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why
you and Heath.
Well...
Corral beat me...
You finally gave in.
...to submission, yes.
And, he was awful for the second straight start. And at Cleveland this weekend, if you had him in a daily league, are you sitting Carlos Rodon at Cleveland this weekend? One of those bad starts was against Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, Cleveland has a pretty good offense. And I don't know. I don't think I would, but it's I wouldn't blame anybody for doing that.
Yordano Ventura with a good start yesterday. He's at Detroit this weekend. Ventura has a 1.76 ERA in 5 starts against Detroit. Start or sit?
See, my response to Rodon, like, because it's that time of year where everything matters so much, every decision matters so much that you can't even really count on the passage of time correcting things. You know, it's kind of like fantasy. We're having to play fantasy baseball with a fantasy football mindset right now. Because don't you feel that way when you set your football lineups? Like every week, you're like, oh,
yes,
I have 4 different running backs I could start, 4 different receivers I could start.
Yes.
Let me look at the matchups. Okay, there's nothing like that jumps out at you. Matchups wise, so you just kind of have to go with your gut, and you know your gut's wrong at least half the time.
Yeah, I feel like every time.
I hate that.
But you could also have that amazing, exhilarating, nerve-wracking experience late in September when you end your league.
Yeah, but I just think you're and look, this would be the case. It's just about having such little time left. So it could be the case in August too. Whenever you decide to end your season, there's so much more riding on every decision, and it feels like there's less reason that goes into every decision. But anyway, long story short, I don't think Ventura is very good, even though this start was a good one. I know in his last 14 starts, he has a, you know, like a 3.45 ERA. But high whip, low K rate, just not a lot to back it up.
Okay. Jason Hamill. Though this one's interesting. Jason Hamill in his last 7 home starts, 7-0, 0.98 ERA. This is what he does. Awful on the road now and great at home. And he's got 2 starts next week, Scott. And Jason Hamill is at Pittsburgh and at Cincinnati. Ouch.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Those are road starts. They're road starts. Well, one's against such a pretty not so great offense. The other, a not so great team. And he's coming off like I don't know if we can attribute the ups and downs. Well, I say ups and downs, but it was really just a really awful stretch for Jason Hamill, where like 5 of his 6 starts he was just pulverized.
Except for the one at home.
Except for the one at home, but
it doesn't make any sense.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. I'm just not being very succinct about it. I think the Hamill we saw yesterday is the real Jason Hamill, and in a week where I'm sure there are going to be few quality 2 start options to choose from, I'm ready to trust in him again.
Now, here's another thing to consider. He is pitching with a lot on the line because they don't know who their number 4 starter is going to be, and it's probably not going to be Hamill. But, you know, if he has great starts going into the postseason and Lackey slips up at all, then he could make the case. So there's a lot to pitch for Jason Hamill.
I mean, he's a 15-game winner, which I know sounds kind of quaint these days to cite a guy's wins, but he's had a pretty darn good year.
Yeah, sure. Marco Estrada had a very good start. 7 scoreless innings, 1 walk, or 1 hit, 3 walks and 8 strikeouts at Seattle. This is now the third time, I think since the beginning of August, that Hamill has had, or Estrada has had 7 innings of 1 or 0 earned runs. The previous 2 times, he followed it up with either 2 or 3 really bad starts in a row. So Estrada has 2 starts next week. The Yankees at home and at Boston.
Afraid you were going to say that.
Ah, no, it stinks. What do you think? I think no.
I'm going to lean yes on this one. At least in points leagues, roto leagues, I don't think you sell out as much for the 2 start pitchers.
Not the guy who's pitching. What does he have? Like a herniated disc or something?
A herniated disc?
He has something. He has some injury.
Yeah, I think you're right. But here's what we're going to face next week, especially. Because those last few days of the week is where you're really going to see a lot of backups, a lot of early hooks for starting pitchers. Toronto, as of now, looks like they're going to be in the position where it's going to go right down to the wire. So not only is Estrada lined up for 2 starts right now, but he's lined up for a true 2 starts. In all likelihood. And I think that's going to make him push him into start territory for me.
Okay. More pitchers from yesterday. Taiwan Walker. Yeah, I mean, I did catch some of this game. And I still want to see him develop more pitches. You know, even with a new delivery, he doesn't have new pitches.
Well, apparently he was a little out of sync with the delivery in this one, which, I mean, a guy's breaking in a brand new delivery. Like, I guess that's to be expected. Some ups and downs with it.
And now we called Taiwan Walker a must add because he had a two-start week, but we didn't necessarily call him a must start. Part of the appeal of...
I pretty much did. Only because the two-start pitchers.
You're starting every two-start pitcher, but...
Yeah, who's worth owning? I mean, not every two-start pitcher.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I did mention part of it was just you didn't want him on somebody else's team just in case this was legit.
Yeah, that's true. And this was more likely to be the bad one anyway. So him not taking a big negative in this one, I think is you can chalk that one up as a win. I mean, let's see how he does at Minnesota this weekend. But that being a favorable matchup, I still think there's a good chance this week turns out pretty well for the people who started Taiwan Walker.
And he's been throwing his curveball a little bit more lately. In fact, that was the pitch I saw him throw along with the fastball yesterday. I didn't see him throw many splitters, but apparently he did. So hopefully, you know, fastball, curveball, splitter would be a nice little repertoire there for Taiwan Walker. Tyler Anderson, starter sit at the Dodgers this weekend. Good start yesterday. He's got a really nice ERA at home.
Yeah, good home start. Dodgers struggle against lefties. You know, he did give up 5 runs yesterday, but only, 2 of them were earned?
Yeah, 2.
And 7 strikeouts to no walks. Yeah, I think I'm fine starting him this weekend.
All right, how about the touch, the feel of Cowden? You wanted to sing it? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
At the Angels and at the Mariners next week, best start of the year for Jarrell Cotton. He's got a 1.50 ERA through 3 starts. But this was the first start with strikeouts, and of course it was against the Astros. The Angels strike out less than any other team in baseball, and he also has the Mariners next week. You think Jarrell Cotton's worth adding?
No, because Bob Melvin was talking about curtailing his innings after this start. In fact, he got kind of an early hook for as well as he was pitching. So I just think it's too risky.
Starter sit Brad Peacock this weekend against the Angels.
Sit.
Wei-Yin Chen against the Braves this weekend.
Sit.
Clayton Richard, nice start for him. Start one of a 2-start week, and he's got the San Francisco Giants this weekend.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Richard. Extreme ground ball rate. He feels like he delivers a quality start every time, basically, right? I mean, last start he gave up 11 hits, but it's not like he gave up a lot of runs.
The only thing I would caution with Richard is if you're, you know, in a daily league, in a categories league, he's pitching, I think, on Sunday. If whip is going to decide your week, Richard's not very good with whip. In fact, with San Diego, 3-2, 187 ERA, 148 whip. And
yeah.
That, you know, that happens with ground ball pitchers.
Yeah, the ones, especially ones who don't get strikeouts. Cause
right.
Those ground balls do sneak through higher. I mean, they wind up being singles more often than fly balls do. It's just obviously you're not giving up the home runs that fly ball pitchers give up.
And do you have any interest in Tim Adelman, who has a two-start week, or at least scheduled for that next week, at St. Louis and home against the Cubs? Or Aaron Blair, who changed his delivery and better results yesterday at the Mets, 6 innings, 2 runs, 9 swinging strikes, and he will be at Miami on Saturday. That's Aaron Blair. Adelman and Blair, any interest in these deep league guys?
I can't bring myself to trust in Blair after only one start like that. ERA is up near 8 still. Adelman has been pretty reliable, but a lot of sub-6-inning starts and not many strikeouts. I think I just don't think the reward justifies the risk, which is still pretty high for a pitcher who, you know, is probably 8th or 9th on the Reds' season-long depth chart.
Who do you think will win the 2 NL wildcard spots between the Mets, Cardinals, and Giants?
I'm going to say the Giants overtake the Mets in the last week, and the Cardinals are in as well. Those would be my picks.
The Mets' schedule is just so good, though. They got the Phillies, Braves, and Marlins the rest of the season.
That's unfortunate, because I feel like the Mets are the worst team of those three.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like the Giants are the best team of those three, so...
I don't know, man. I mean... Like, last year, they had Joe Panik and Matt Duffy hitting. This year, who hits for them? Their hitting stinks.
Buster Posey's still fine.
Yeah, Posey's good. Pence is all right.
Pence has been better recently. I mean, their hitting isn't really their strength, though. I mean, the top of their rotation, Bumgarner and Cueto. I mean, imagine those two in the playoffs.
That's all they have, though. I mean, they are...
Well, that's more than... Like, that's as valuable as anything any team could have.
I get it. You know, they could do some damage. I don't think this Giants team is that good.
Okay.
Certainly compared to their World Series winners.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did you think those teams were that good? Because I don't think there's been a year, you know, Giants have won, what, 3 of the last 6 World Series?
6, yeah.
And I don't think there's been a year where anybody going into the playoffs, everyone was like, yeah, Giants are going to win. They're great.
Well, that's true. But I can't imagine they had bullpen issues with those teams like they do this time around.
Well, Casilla was the closer for the last of those teams. But, early it was what, Brian Willis and Sergio Romo, Santiago Casilla were the closers. I mean, really, the most recent one, Madison Bumgarner, was the closer.
Yeah,
right. But other than that first Giants team, I don't feel like bullpen was a real strength. But I could be remembering wrong.
Well, they're having just an awful second half. And they did have an amazing first half. And I guess maybe they showed what they're capable of doing. Let's do tonight's matchups. See who Scott White is starting this evening. All righty. Let's go to Chicago White Sox at Philadelphia. James Shields, Jake Thompson.
No thanks.
The Red Sox and Orioles, Eduardo Rodriguez, Kevin Gausman.
I'll go Gausman.
Oh.
I feel like he's pretty much ascended to must-start status. And Erod, though, I'm not trusting in him.
We've got the Nationals and the Marlins, Tanner Roark and Jose Fernandez.
Feel good about both of those.
Edinson Volquez and Josh Tomlin, Royals visit the Tribe.
I'm going to lean no for both of them. Tomlin's the only one I'm a little on the fence about because his last start after a long resting period was solid. But still a lot of risk there with the home runs.
Should I do this in like cheesy announcer voice?
I think that would be preferable.
All right. The Yankees are at the Trop tonight. Let's see what Michael Pineda and Drew Smyly have on hand for us in Tampa Bay. Start or sit, Scott.
I was watching, do you remember a show when we were like 6, 7 years old? Video Power. It was like a Nintendo playing game show.
No.
You don't remember it? No. I actually caught a clip of it on YouTube, and it wasn't the main host, but they had like a secondary host. And that, I swear to you, that was the exact voice he used. That
was his actual
on-TV voice.
Like, of course.
Totally.
People used to do that all the time. Like, luckily, we're out of that.
In the 90s, 80s era?
Yeah, I think probably... Yeah, I don't know exactly when it started, but sure, I think finally we've gotten rid of that. Do you remember the movie The Wizard from 1989 with Fred Savage?
I didn't see it. I know the reference. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Nintendo in that one.
Yeah.
Back to tonight's scoreboard. Let's take a look at the Angels and the Texas Rangers. Scott, it's Daniel Wright on the hill with that robust 7.04 earned run average, and he'll face off against AJ Griffin in his killer curveball. Start or sit?
Sit both of them, and I never answered Yankees race. I would also sit Pineda and Smiley. Not a lot of starts so far tonight.
Okay. Will he feel a little bit better about the Braves and the Mets with Julio Teheran and Robert Gazelle, man?
I would start both of them, yeah. Yeah, I will. I'm already rolling the dice on Gazelleman for the two in a weekly format with the two starts, so let's do it daily too.
And let's pack those bags and head over to the Central Time Zone where Detroit and Minnesota tangle. Matt Boyd and Hector Santiago start or sit.
Boyd got crushed by the Twins in his very last start, but I'm still leaning toward using him in this one. Santiago absolutely is no go.
All right, Cincinnati and Chicago. The Reds are throwing out a guy that I thought played for the Atlanta Hawks, Josh Smith, although I maybe the Rockets now, and John Lester. Start or sit Josh Smith?
I thought there was a Blaylock in the league I didn't know about. Josh Smith, no.
I don't even know. What basketball team is Josh Smith on now? Do we know?
I don't Rockets? Know either. I don't know either. I think he ended last season on the Rockets. Started it on the Pistons.
Started it on the Pistons.
Yeah. I had him on a few fantasy basketball teams. And by a few, I mean one.
I think I want to play fantasy basketball this year.
You don't normally, do you?
By the way, Fantasy Basketball Today exists. Podcast hosted by Chris Towers. And they did a mock draft episode, and Chris Towers said his favorite team was Scott White's.
I got to tell you, Adam, I don't know a lot about basketball. I don't. Like, I could not be a fantasy basketball analyst because limited, other than, you know, the numbers that actually count for something in fantasy, I wouldn't be able to comment on anything.
Right. For example, you were wrong about Josh Smith. He was actually on the Clippers and the Rockets last year. Detroit was 2014.
I was thinking 2 years ago. But anyway, to finish my point. Fantasy basketball is the easiest of the fantasy sports because if you want automatic lineup decisions and, you know, just stick with the same guy and trust that he's going to put up the same numbers week after week, that's the sport for you. I mean, as long as you know your format, I'm going to get back into this. If you know your format in fantasy basketball and you know, you know the roles players are going to fill going into the season. Obviously, you still have to play waiver wire as roles change and stuff. But for the most part, they do exactly what you expect them to do. It's pretty amusing, actually.
Let's go back to baseball. Pirates and Brewers, Stephen Brault, Matt Garza. Who are you starting there, if anyone?
I am starting neither, I think.
You could make a case for both here.
Yeah. Garza is interesting, but his last couple starts scare me away, and Brault just doesn't get the innings, I think, to really make it worth your while.
You can't make a case for Brault, actually. Not a good one, anyway. All right, how about the A's and the Astros? And it's Joe Musgrove back on the mound at Oakland against Sean Manaea. Sean Manaea, is he going to be the man? Is he going to put the man in Manaea tonight, Scott?
Yeah, actually, do a little video segment every day. Payday pitcher of the week. I chose Sean Manaea.
Ooh,
with the A's offense is red hot. He gave up no runs in his first start off the DL last time. It was five innings, but he only threw 67 pitches because it was first start back. Astros strike out a lot. I like Manaea, but I also like Musgrove, Adam. I like them both. I think this is a dual start.
All right, how about that? Now, St. Louis is at Colorado. Is Adam Wainwright going to make his fantasy owners feel Wayne wrong if they start him? You can't start Wainwright or De La Rosa, right?
No, not at Colorado. That's all a bad idea.
Jay Happ and Hisashi Iwakuma. Are we starting these guys? Toronto at Seattle. Massive game in the wild card hunt.
You're kind of reminding me of Troy McClure, actually.
You may remember me from such podcasts as.
Or is it maybe it's not Troy. Maybe it's Kent Brockman.
Kent Brockman doesn't really do that.
No, you're right.
It's probably it's Troy McClure. McClure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I forget what we were really talking about.
Wainwright and De La Rosa. Sit him.
Oh, we already said this.
Oh, all right. Happ and Iwakuma. Do you want your lineup to be hapless?
I think I'd start both, actually. Iwakuma, Toronto's a little more dangerous, but he's been so reliable this year. I'm comfortable. In a start him or start nobody situation, I'm comfortable starting him.
We're going to start Johnny Cueto and Rich Hill. How about Arizona at San Diego, Archie Bradley and Paul Clemens?
No!
All right. then let's read some emails to finish the show. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Greetings from foggy San Francisco. This comes from Mark. I've made it to the final week of my 12-team head-to-head categories league with OBP and quality starts in place of batting average and wins. I'm hoping to get your thoughts on who you like the best as the everyday lineup. So he's basically choosing between Kyle Seager and Yulieski Gurriel.
Oh, Seager. Easily. Seager comes, is really on the heels of like the Chris Bryant, Manny Machado class of third baseman. Not as far back as you think.
In
terms of
up.
Actual fantasy production, I mean. Not just, you know, that's not me just talking off top of mind.
I was going to say, would you consider starting Gurriel over Seager if Seager's facing a lefty? His slash line against lefties is .240, .311, .455 with 11 home runs in 99 games. Good power.
No, I wouldn't.
No?
I wouldn't because I think that's good enough that, I mean, you could still be rewarded by it and be, it's not like left-handers usually pitch the whole game, you know, and then I'd hate to have sat him if that left-hander only goes four innings, which is happens a lot this time of year.
Desmond and Gong at shortstop. OBP league, but it's categories, so you don't lose points for strikeouts.
Yeah, I know Desmond hasn't had a great second half, but he's been fine recently. I guess I'd lean Gong right now.
Chris Davis?
I don't know. If you need steals, maybe Desmond.
Chris Davis with a C, Hunter Pence, George Springer, Nelson Cruz, Justin Upton, and David Dahl. Pick three of those. Chris
Springer
Davis?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Springer and Cruz, for sure. And I think I'd lean Justin Upton while he's hot over Chris Davis. They've actually had similar seasons, just Davis has been doing it for longer.
All right, now we've got Gurriel, Desmond, Chris Davis, Pence, and Dahl, and you can pick two of those.
Oh, well, that makes it a little easier. Yeah. Desmond and Chris Davis, the two I was struggling with the most.
This is from, I have no name here, so he says, hey, Bo, Wayne, and Michael. And this apparently is from the Pro Stars cartoon.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that vaguely. Oh. I was watching Video Power instead. By the way, watching Video Power here, you know, 25 years later, it really made me want to go outside and play. It was pretty sad.
10-team.
I felt bad for 7-year-old me.
10-team, 10x10 categories, head-to-head keeper league. I'm in the finals, and he wants to know how you would rank these pitchers for next year. All right. Quintana. All right, so he can keep two, maybe three. So just give me your top three. Quintana, Verlander, Aaron Sanchez, Lance McCullers, Sonny Gray, and Kevin Gausman.
Verlander will be one. Quintana, two. Sanchez, three.
Okay. Here's one from Mike. I have to give up one of my pitcher slots to get all my starters in on Tuesday. That means I have to bench one of my closers. So who would you bench? Giles, Edwin Diaz, Wade Davis, or Familia?
Giles has not been reliable enough for me.
Ooh, I think he's been all right. He's so good when he's on. I mean, he's so many strikeouts.
He got a clean save yesterday, that's the first one I can remember since he went in the role. I can look up exactly what the numbers are if I just...
Well, I promise he's had more than one clean save.
You're right. Four of his last five appearances have been clean, but...
I feel like he gets a ton of saves. That's kind of why I'm leaning toward him.
16 appearances overall. It's actually calmed down a bit. 3.18 ERA and 16 appearances since regaining the closer role. So, you were more on top of that than I was. In which case, I think the still possibly not quite over his forearm injury, Wade Davis is the one to say.
Okay, this is, again, no name. Sorry about that. I need to pick four outfielders here. I have McCutcheon, Cargo, Chris Davis, and Trey Turner. I guess he needs to pick three. It's just for tonight. Who would you sit, Scott? Andrew McCutcheon at Milwaukee and Matt Garza? Carlos Gonzalez at home against Wainwright? Chris Davis with a K at home against Musgrove? Trey Turner at Jose Fernandez?
I don't see how you can sit Trey Turner. I really, really don't.
How can you sit any of these guys? If anyone, it'd have to be Andrew McCutcheon.
Yeah, I mean, it's between him and Chris Davis, but I think so. I think you got to lean McCutcheon on that one after the week Chris Davis just had. Chris with a K. K-Riss Davis.
K-Riss Davis. And finally from Sean in Kingston, Ontario. Do you have any strategies I can use during the last week? I'm thinking once Sale and Kluber or any other one-star pitcher go, I can drop them for other pitchers, at least to keep them away from my opponent. Is that a solid strategy?
I guess if it's allowed. Yeah, I guess that's fine. I'd worry if Sale or Kluber made their start on Monday and Tuesday, and let's say this is complete hypothetical, but you know, any pitcher you might be considering this for, if it's high end enough that you really wouldn't want your opponent to benefit from an out of nowhere Saturday or Sunday start that wasn't supposed to happen, but oh look, it's happening, then maybe you might think twice about that.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll come back tomorrow with another awesome edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the fantasy baseball versus fantasy football thing, although we have probably a little biased crowd. But I'd love to know what you think, so send us an email at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. For Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Until tomorrow, see you later. Machado or Bonnie.